Welcome to the minisode, Sally.
Thanks.
We talked a lot on the main interview about kind of how tightly we hold these foods that we enjoy. And I want you to talk through with us how we can really practically let go of these private addictions we may have to foods that are actually not as ancestral as we think.
Yeah, it's interesting because you also mentioned how carnivores, which is a full meat diet, may still be eating sweet potatoes. And it turns out that that might be a good idea because the body on a full carnivore diet, that's basically a zero oxalate diet that can be over encouraging. It's very nutritious and it's zero oxalate, and it can encourage this mobilization from tissues that can become toxic, and you sort of start being quite sick on this clearing illness, as I tend to call it. And sweet potatoes is a way of putting brakes on that. So by adding some oxalate back in, you're stopping that robust clearing from the tissues, and so you don't get the symptoms from the oxalate coming out of the body. So that's one side of this, is that in a way you can take your time to get over your attachments to food, but the bigger freedom is to really drop all the safety bars on your emotional life with your food attachments and be willing to just do something radically different. For some people, that needs to be a gradual process, on and off, and self-learning and evolving, because the way we eat is so entwined with your daily routine. What do you do on your normal routine? Where do you shop? What do you buy? When do you eat? What do you prepare? How you prepare it? These are so embedded in your routine that turning on a dime is not necessarily practical. Mm-hmm. So the good thing about the oxalates is if you move away from them slowly, that's probably safer, because it's less likely to trigger the severe clearing that can make you so sick. But the bigger issue that I think we really want to talk about is how people might claim a label like I'm ancestral in my lifestyle and my diet, but still hanging on to very modern inventions like the Reese's peanut butter cup or the dark chocolate treat. Nobody ate dark chocolate 30 years ago. I mean, it was not popular until about 30 years ago, and even really just the last 20 years, where it's ubiquitous now. But we're like, oh, this is ancestral. Are you kidding? The chocolate bar itself was only invented like 130 years ago. So we're kidding ourselves. And then, you know, famous paleo cookbook writers are giving you almond muffins and almond cakes and almond desserts. And like, this is not the least bit ancestral.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Truly.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are super, super paleo and avoiding gluten or even, you know, sourdough breads or whatever, but instead they're cooking, yes, with all these almonds or, yeah, all these.
Worse, much worse. In fact, the gluten-free substitutes are much worse in oxalate and toxicity. Buckwheat, quinoa, teff. I mean, I have a good friend or an associate you probably knew, who's no longer with us. He ended up dying. His life was short, died of a heart attack. He had a lifetime of eating buckwheat for breakfast, spinach in his almonds, almond snacks. And when his health started falling apart, he didn't know what it was until I gave him my article. And then he's like, oh my gosh. But it, you know, then at that stage, if you're not careful about how you recover from this toxicity, it literally can kill you. And I hate to say that because I don't want to scare anyone. I don't want anyone freaking out. We need to take a deep breath and relax. But you also need to be taking this seriously and give it, it's worth your attention.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely have a link to your book and to your resources, but I want to ask you a couple other questions. You mentioned tea being high in oxalates and kombucha less so. Would you suggest weaning off kombucha? Because I know I really like kombucha now.
Well, you know, I used to be a kombucha maker and I made all these great flavors and everything and have the bottling things that would also ferment in the bottle. And I love kombucha. When I was sick and didn't know why, I was drinking a bottle of GTs every day at work because it allowed me to keep functioning in the afternoon. So I have, that was one of my attachment foods. But I found as I got on the diet with the low oxalates that all the fermented foods and the soft cheeses and the moldy things were not agreeing with me anymore. And it turns out the fermented foods increase the production of oxalate in the body. The body makes some oxalate in the breakdown of connective tissue. Vitamin C converts into oxalate in the body. And inflammation and various pollution type compounds and low thiamine and other factors will increase the problems with the liver that create more oxalate in your metabolism. And so it turns out the fermented foods are one of those things that can increase internal production. But I think the bigger problem with the fermented foods is that we end up with histamine intolerance, and they tend to be high in histamine because the mast cells are so overstimulated. Or we end up with autoimmune problems where we're now allergic to everything and our system is just reactive. And there's a lot more fancy chemicals in the ferments than there sometimes are even in the non-fermented. So for whatever the explanation, listen to your body. You know, if it's not agreeing with your body, just because you used to like it doesn't mean you still should be eating it if you're really aiming for awesome health.
Yeah, and Sally Fallon Morrell points out that people didn't eat heaps of ferments. They would just have like a spoonful of something at every meal. So I think you're right. We have a tendency to do these huge interventions or overdo in any one direction, and we might be wiser, more prudent to, as you say, to listen to our body and to take it slow.
Yes, absolutely. And I think fermentation is a great example of people way overdoing things and thinking everything needs to be fermented, like the fermented diet. It's like become a fad. Probably Sally kicked it off, but she didn't mean that, guys. This is what happens often. You put out an information and message and people take it off to left field, and like there they go off with your message, teaching the world the wrong thing. So I really relate to the frustration that she might be experiencing with that, because people are overdoing ferments now, and famous people drinking 8 or 9 bottles of, you know, pints of kombucha a day.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll listen to this show and then they'll get some ideas about.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Because we're just really advocating to try to help people. I mean, it's not like I'm getting paid to have this conversation, right? So, you know, it is coming from a great space. And those of us who have discovered why are we shipwrecked are so exuberant and so worried about others who are on the same path we were on.
100%. Well, thank you. Thank you for being on this show, the mini-sode and the main one too. We really appreciate you, Sally.
Oh, it's so good to connect with you, Hilda. I've been waiting for this for years, so thank you.